Tim Wakefield has joined us on Sports Byline USA. There is a movie out called Knuckleball, which we'll talk about in just a second, but I want to pick up his career because he gets released in 95 from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then a couple of days later, as he said, Dan Duquette gave him a call, and he signs on with the Boston Red Sox. At that time, you came in contact with Phil and Joe Niekro. Tell me a little bit about them being involved with you and what they said to you.
Oh, my goodness. It wasn't anything that they said to me. It was the fact that I got a chance to talk to somebody that had walked miles and miles in the shoes that I was wearing at the time. And, it was amazing to go to Fort Myers and just go to the minor league camp or go to the minor league facility and just work with those two guys one-on-one with nobody around. Like, I remember just going on the backfield and playing catch and finding a guy to catch knuckleballs throwing the side and have both Joe and Phil, kind of critique me. And, just having them there and bouncing ideas off of them and hearing what they had to say really boosted my confidence quite a bit.
The knuckleball is such a different pitch that when somebody does counsel someone on how to throw it and how to use it, what is it that they say that might be different from, say, a regular pitching coach? Because most pitching coaches, it's a little bit like the option offense in say, football. If you don't see it very often, you don't know how to coach against it, if you know what I mean, Tim.
Yeah, and it's nothing any different than a pitching coach would say to a conventional pitcher. It's really about mechanics, but only a knuckleballer can understand what the mechanics feel like and what they look like and what the outcome is supposed to be. I could throw some really, really good knuckleballs in front of some pitching coaches, and they say, yeah, that's a good one, and I'm thinking to my head, that's not what it's supposed to do, knowing, what it's really supposed to do. So to be able to work and be part of this brotherhood, this fraternity, so to speak, of knuckleballers is we're such a tight-knit group that we're the only ones that really get each other. Now that R.A. is kind of the only one that's left, he's kind of carrying the torch very proudly, and he's really authenticizing the pitch itself, and it's something that we all – as our careers unfolded, it's something that we always fought and tried to legitimize our craft. And people always looked at it as a to the masses, it's a circus pitch. But it was a legitimate way to get guys out at the big league level and sustain a career.
In most cases, I would assume that a pitcher has an expectation that a certain pitch, is going to do certain things. But when we're talking about the knuckleball here, Tim, it's going to do different things each time you throw that. And I would assume, having talked to Phil and Joe Niekro over the course of their careers, that they told you to kind of maybe forget about that and just work on the mechanics of throwing it, not the expectation of what it's going to do each time.
Yeah, I really had to buy into the process of it, and know that the mechanics are the most important thing. Obviously, our margin of error is very small. If you misfire a knuckleball throwing at 65 to 70 miles an hour, it's like throwing batting practice. So I really had to buy into the process of allowing myself to let it go and throw it at a certain height, knowing that I'm going to, throw it for a strike. I can't control a lot of it when it comes out of my hand, but I can control the fact that I can try to throw it over the plate and try to throw it for strikes at least 7 or 8 out of 10 times. And that's what my goal was.
You know as well as I do that the major leagues kind of fall in love with the radar gun. I don't know how many stories I have read where, boy, this guy can throw 95 miles per hour. That is not a part of the knuckleball. So how willing did you find the Red Sox, even Pittsburgh or even baseball, do you think, how willing are they to accept a ball that is not even 80 miles an hour sometimes?
Well, I think if you can consistently throw strikes and prove to people that you can get outs, I think they're going to give you a chance no matter what. I mean, I don't care if you throw 105 miles an hour. If you throw that same pitch 3 or 4 or 5 times in a row, eventually the best hitters in the world are gonna square it up eventually. So being able to throw a ball consistently for strikes that moves differently every single time you throw it, I think is a little more unique and maybe a little more effective than throwing, 97 to 100 miles an hour over and over again.
How did the catcher factor into what you were doing? Because, catching a knuckleball is a lot different, but you had Doug Mirabelli in Boston catching a lot of your games. Tell me a little bit about the confidence you had to have in a catcher and he in you to be able to catch the pitch.
Oh, Doug was fantastic, and I had confidence in almost all the guys that caught me. you know, it was one of those things where Doug, we were together for such a long period of time that the relationship that we built was unique. And the fact that he, you know, would catch my sides, he would catch me when I played catch on flat ground in the outfield, and really honed in on his skill of being a knuckleball catcher. And with the work of, you know, certain catching instructors, especially Gary Tuck, who really got him turned sideways and freed him up a little bit. He was a little more relaxed back there, and he was able to catch knuckleballs more consistently. And you know, when I see that back there, that he's busting his butt to try to be the best that he can be, made me more relaxed, and we worked together great as a team.
Tim, one of my stops on my career was in Boston as a sportscaster, and so I know what the area is like. If you give a batting average that's 100th off, every little old lady up to Maine calls you.
Well, they're very passionate about their Red Sox. You don't want to mess with them on that one.
I say that because 2004 was such a special year, and you helped play a large part in it, and that they win their first World Series in 86 years. When you look back upon that season, what are the things that stay with Tim Wakefield that made it so special?
You know, just being able to share the victory with generations and generations and generations of Red Sox fans. I think the neatest thing that I heard, you know, the comments from people is like, you know, thank you. My grandfather, you know, who was a Red Sox fan for, you know, 75 years, never got a chance to see you guys win. And you know, we put a World Series banner on his tombstone or at his graveside at the cemetery. And just hearing those stories really humbled you. The fact that what we accomplished really touched a lot of people in the New England area, and also being able to share it with, you know, generations of other former Red Sox players that got so close and never could accomplish it. The Jim Rices, the Dwight Evans, you know, and to the Johnny Pesky's, who unfortunately passed away this year, but being able to hand him the trophy on the field in St. Louis, you could see it really, it really touched his heart. He had a smile from ear to ear, and it was fun to be able to share that with him.
I mentioned about the movie Knuckleball. Tell me a little bit about it and what you're trying to do with the movie.
Well, it's a great film. It's a story about two guys that chronicles our years from last year, 2011, and you know, it's a story of hope. It's a story of survival. And it kind of talks about the small brotherhood of knuckleballers that are out there with Phil Niekro and Charlie Huff, Candy Yachty, Wilbur Wood, who are all in the film. And, you know, I think it's not just your regular sports documentary. It's a movie with a lot of human touches to it that shows, you know, the struggles and the things that we had to overcome to be successful as a knuckleballer, because a lot of people don't trust it. A lot of organizations don't have the patience for it, and it's our story of survival. And hopefully, my hopes this film is to keep dreams alive of little kids that, you know, just because they don't throw 95 miles an hour doesn't mean they won't have a chance to pitch in the big leagues. All they had to do is grab a ball, grab a mitt, and go play catch with your dad in the backyard and learn a knuckleball.
And it's available via iTunes and also video on demand. Is there a commonality among all knuckleball pitchers? Have you found that commonality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we're such a close-knit group, and we're all friends. And you know, the commonality that we all share is trying to prove that, you know, the knuckleball is a legitimate pitch, and it is authentic, and if used properly, can be a valuable asset to any organization in the major leagues.
And you pointed out about the young kids that it's an opportunity for them, if they don't throw 95 miles an hour, to be able to play in the major leagues. But if it's not taught at the lower level, what is the challenge for a kid to be able to pick up the pitch?
I don't think there is a challenge. You know, I think if you're young enough and you're willing to make a commitment and realize that that might be your only ticket to the big leagues, then, you know, I spent many a days throwing against a brick wall in the backyard or in any minor league stadium or high school field and trying to figure out what works best for me and embrace your own personality with a pitch.
We only have a minute left, but when you think back on your long 19-year career, are there anything that stays in your mind that is kind of, you know, ingrained in your mind about what you did that makes you smile, Tim?
I think the fact that I outlasted a lot of people that never thought I could play in the major leagues, and obviously winning the World Series in 04 and 07 and bringing a World Series title back to the city of Boston that embraced me when I first got there in 1995 and, you know, forgave me for obviously 2003 and, you know, embraced me when I won my 200th game. So I'm very proud to have worn one of the greatest uniforms of all time.
And Fenway Park, something special, but when it's rocking with a full house there, what's it like if you're out there on the mound?
It's unbelievable. It's not like any other stadium in the world. It's more of a neighborhood where you see faces, you know, and they're the 26th man on our team.
Tim, I want to thank you very much. Congratulations on your outstanding career, and also congratulations on the movie as well. Thank you for joining us here on Sports Byline.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on.
Tim Wakefield with us again, knuckleball pitcher for 19 years in the major leagues, was drafted by Pittsburgh and really came into the league as a first baseman. And then after it didn't work out, after his rookie year was pretty good, he got released by the Pittsburgh Pirates and then picked up by the Boston Red Sox. And that's when he finished up. And of course, while he was there, he picked up two world championship rings, 2004, 2007. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.